Good evening, and welcome to our services tonight. We have a good crowd among us, and we're very pleased that you're here, and we're thankful for that you're here to worship God and to fellowship one with another here tonight at O'Neill. Over the past few weeks, over the past few years, we've witnessed some gruesome acts of violence in the United States. Stuart mentioned it in his prayer this morning of things that have been going on. Bear with me just for a moment as I want to highlight some of these. April 16, 2007, Blacksburg, Virginia. 32 killed, 17 injured by a Virginia Tech senior who opens fire on campus. November the 5th, 2009, Fort Hood. An Army psychiatrist allegedly shoots and kills 13 and injures 32 others. February 12, 2010, Huntsville, Alabama, a professor at UAH kills three and injures three more. July 20, 2012, Aurora, Colorado, 12 are killed and 58 are injured in a movie theater where someone comes in and starts shooting. December 14, 2012, Newtown, Connecticut, 27 are killed and one are injured in a Sandy Hook Elementary School. June 7, 2013, Santa Monica, California, an unemployed 23-year-old kills five people in an attack that starts at his father's home and ends at a community college. September 16, 2013, in Washington, D.C., a Navy contractor and a former Navy enlisted man shoots and kills 12 and injures three others. Fort Hood, Texas, again on April the 2nd, 2014, where a gunman kills three people and injures 16 others. May 23, 2014, Isla Vista, California, a 22-year-old man, he plans a deadly attack for more than a year and then takes it out here and shooting and killing six and injuring seven. Charleston, South Carolina, June 18, 2015, man is charged with nine counts of murder, three accounts of attempted murder, an attack that killed nine people in the historic black church in South Carolina. July 16, 2015, just a year ago, Chattanooga, Tennessee, a gunman opens fire on two military centers more than 7 miles apart on a Thursday, killing four Marines and a Navy sailor. In Roseburg, Oregon, October 1, 2015, a man shot and killed eight fellow students and a teacher at a community college. He was described as an individual who was hate-filled, anti-religion. November 29, 2015, Colorado Springs, Colorado, a gunman goes into a clinic and starts firing, killing three, injuring nine. December 2, 2015, San Bernardino, California, two assailants killed 14 and wounded 22 more in the Inland Regional Center. June 12, last month, Orlando, Florida, United States suffered the worst mass shooting in our history so far. 50 killed, 53 injured. July 7th, the beginning of this month, Dallas, Texas, where an Army Reserve Afghan War veteran, angry over police shootings, ambush and fires on and kills five police officers and injures 11 others. Will this ever stop? Will hate cease to exist? We have seen a divide in our country like none other that I've ever witnessed before in my lifetime. We're divided over race, we're divided over religion, we're divided over laws, we're divided over what's sinful, what's not sinful. And if it isn't even bad enough, here we are in a presidential election year, and both candidates are telling us, you know, what we need in order to make our country united, what we need to make our country better, what we need this, we need that. Each candidate trying to provide us with a hope of a better tomorrow by following their lead. What can we do? Who or what do we need? Where can we turn? I want to tell you what we need. And I want to tell you what this country needs. We need Jesus. That's the answer, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is all we need. In response to all these various tragedies that we've had, people begin to question, they maybe think, why is this happening? Why are these things happening? What can be done to prevent these in the future? And again, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is all we need. The Apostle Paul, he tells us that in defending his apostleship in Corinthians, to the Corinthian believers, he tells them, and kind of paraphrasing here, I'm not going to defend myself. Jesus is all I need in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. I want to remind everybody in here tonight, Jesus is all we need. When we are without Jesus, when we're without Him, we are in serious trouble. You can do nothing in and of yourself. Without Jesus, you're nothing. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, Jesus says, if you abide in me, then I'm going to abide in you, and the same brings fruit, bring forth much fruit. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Yet with Him, with Jesus Christ, we can do all things. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, through Christ which strengtheneth me, in Philippians 4, verse 13. Why do we need Jesus? Why do we need to focus on needing Jesus and talking about Jesus? Thinking about our Jesus and the salvation that is in Him. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. It's through Jesus Christ where there's salvation. How can this country be saved? It's through Jesus Christ. How can you and I individually be saved in eternity? It's through Jesus Christ. The price He paid for us when He went to the cross. He paid the price. He paid the price for all those who will trust Him by having obedient faith in Him. He died a horrible, horrible death. He died a horrible death on that cross so that you and I could enjoy salvation. Salvation of God. Without anything that we have, any price from us. And without any fear. There have been many demonstrations. Many demonstrations that we've had to witness on TV. Recent events. But none compares to the greatest demonstration of the love of our God. And that was sending us Jesus Christ. There's you a great demonstration. Sending Jesus Christ, the image of Him, hanging on the cross, dying in my place, dying in your place, dying in the world's place. Romans 5, verse 8. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. You want to make a change? You start with Jesus Christ. Jesus and His salvation also comes about with promises that He makes. Promises that anyone can be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. These little kids can say that verse. And it's not just saying words, it's truth. It's Jesus telling us what we need, and what we need is Him. Why did He come? Luke 19, verse 10, He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Are we in a lost world? You better believe it. We are in a very lost world. Anyone can be saved, and our sins can be forgiven. But first, you know, when we're sick, we have to have an operation, right? Sometimes we have to have an operation to make ourselves better. The same thing is here. We have to have operations sometimes as Christians. Buried with Him in baptism, where also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Sometimes we have to have the operation of God. Well, what is that operation of God? Well, we just said it in the beginning of that verse. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. How are we raised from the dead? Through that operation. What is that operation? It's baptism. Raised from what? That dead, sinful life that we were living. We don't want that life anymore. We don't want. And what does He do to us? says, having forgiven you all trespasses. America, we're sick and we need forgiveness. We need to go to Jesus and we need His forgiveness. All those that believe and obey can receive eternal life. That's another one of His promises that He made. Romans 5 verse 9 tells us that through Jesus we're saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from the wrath of God. And also, through His promises, all who are faithful are promised deliverance from hell. Deliverance from an eternity in hell. But also, we're promised that eternity in heaven. When we look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, we look at John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus has promised His disciples that He's going to go and prepare a place for them. And listen to what He says. Let not your heart be troubled. We live in a world where things are troubling right now. But He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you again into Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I want to take you home. I want to take you out of all of these disappointments, the stress. I want to take you home. I want to get you out of this. This is a promise that He makes to us. This is a promise that He makes to everyone who is a follower of Him. Jesus, that salvation, the plan that He laid forth. And we talk about this. The kids say it. You teach it in class. Brother Guy and Matt and Jay and Al and all the gospel preachers, we're going to preach that the plan that He laid out, God started it when He gave His Son. He sent His Son. He allowed His Son to be killed. The Spirit revealed the Word of God to the apostles and to the disciples, to us, through His Word. And now what can we do? We read it. We study it. Look at Timothy 2:15, studying to show ourselves approved unto God. We don't want to be ashamed. We hear it. We have that choice to believe His Word, to repent of our sins, to change from that way of life. That's what America needs. That's what we need. That's what the world needs, is to change, to confess Jesus Christ, to be buried with Him in baptism, and to remain faithful for the rest of our life. That's the plan. Who needs that? Who do we need? We need Jesus. Are you a Christian? I know there are people within the sound of my voice who are not a Christian. If not, then today is the best day. It's the gift. It's right now, the present. It's the gift. You have it right now. All the things from the past that sometimes are trying to prevent us from doing what's right, problems that we've had, maybe problems with family members, probably problems with other different Christians maybe in the church, struggles with past or grudges that we hold on to, fears, the fear of disappointment, the fear of what others might say if we become a Christian. Maybe it's sins that we have a hard time with. What is and sometimes standing these things stand between us and God. Those things need to be laid down. Those things need to be put away. See, because delaying does what? Delaying puts you in danger. In danger of what? What if life ends? Then you're in danger of not being a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, who are you a child of? To delay puts you in danger of missing heaven's glory. What will you do with Jesus? He is all that we need. Jesus, what do we need? Society needs. We said we need Jesus. We need His book. We need the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be studying the Bible. Why do we need this book? The truths, God's Word, His plan. When we sin, we know what we need to do to be saved. The tragedy of the shootings that we have had and the way in which we treat each other serve to remind us that something is missing. Something is missing in this world. And what's missing is Jesus Christ. What we need today and the rest of the world, we need to return to the good book. We need to return to these Scriptures. The Bible can do more to change society than every Every program that the government can put before us, this can do more than anything else. Our troubles begin when, you know what, I don't need this. I don't need this right here. You know, I know what's right from wrong. I'll make my own decisions. I'll do what I want. Sounds a little bit a lot the judge in the days of the judges in Israel, doesn't it? Judges 21:25. Everyone did what they thought was right in their eyes. Man lives sometimes by a set of standards that, you know, we create them, and then we can recreate whatever it is to fit our lifestyle or to fit the occasion in which we need. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself." The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Then who do we need directing our steps? We need Jesus Christ. We need our Savior. We need His blood. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, we can invent many religions that will follow to make us feel good. We can make up this religion and say, "Hey, this is going to make me feel good. I'm going to follow this one." Well, no, maybe you get upset with this one. Let's go somewhere else. We'll follow something else. Our world is in a mess today. And we've neglected that salvation, the plan of salvation that will make the sinner clean. We've neglected looking to the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that's going to cleanse all of our sins. That blood of the precious blood of Lamb. The precious blood of the Lamb that can wash away all sins. Talk about when is it applied? When we go here. When you are buried in this watery grave of baptism, that's where we meet Jesus Christ. That's where we meet the blood of Jesus Christ. It's when we're buried, we're dead to that old man. And we were raised to walk in the newness of life. The new life. A new creature. Every murderer, every thief, every racist, every drunk, every drug addict, every foul-mouthed person, every sin-stained man and woman, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse. Every sin that we have can be forgiven. What do we need? We need Jesus Christ. We need Him more today than we needed Him ever. We need Him because we need Him. We need to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. We need to tell others. And Brother Guy talked a little bit about prayer this morning in his lesson. I want to challenge us too to pray for sinners. Pray for those people who are lost. But then I want you to get up off your knees. And I want you to go to that person. And I want you to tell them and talk to them about the gospel. I want you to talk to them about, hey, your life is not right. There are people I know within the sound of my voice who may not be in relationship with God. You've let sin enter into your life. You've got to get it out. It's easy, but it's so hard. It's easy. He's provided us an easy way to ask for forgiveness. But it's hard because we let pride get in the way. He gives us abilities to get up and to go serve, to do and to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4, verse 13. Why are we serving? Why am I preaching? Why are you teaching? Why are you singing? Why are you praying? Why are you sharing others? Is it for your glory? Not at all. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord." He goes on and he says, "Ourselves your servants, for whose sake? For Jesus' sake." That's why we do what we do. That's why we serve. It's for Jesus Christ. You know, every one of us in here has a different ability. We have a different talent. Something else to offer. But whatever it is that we have, remember 1 Peter 4, verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You've been given something. Don't keep it to yourself. You have a talent. You share it. If you're good at sending a card, Send cards. If you're good at making a phone call, make a phone call. If you're good at bringing food to someone, bring food to someone. Just do what you're good at and give the glory to God. What's your talent? We all are different, and we all have different things to offer in the service to the Lord. But share it with others. Find ways to share it with others. He gives us plenty of avenues for us in our service. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do." He's not going to overlook the smallest deed nor the biggest deed. Some things that, most things probably that people do in this congregation for in service to others is probably not ever known. And that's okay. But you still do those things because those things are for Jesus Christ. Other people may do it and get big recognition. You keep doing what you're doing because it's not for the glory of anybody in this congregation. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. He gives us avenues. He opens doors. He shuts doors. He directs our paths. Wilma Tribble gave me I've kept it in my billfold, a little piece of paper. On that little piece of paper it says, "Keep your light shining, and God will put it where it will be seen." You let your light shine, and God's going to put it where it's going to need to be seen. And that light's going to be shining for Him, not for what you do. It's going to be shining for Him. And you know, everybody doesn't start off as a CEO of a business having lots of responsibilities. You start small. Start simple. Do something small and then work your way up. Just like in Matthew 25, verse 21. "You're faithful over a few things, we'll make you ruler over many things." We're doing it again for the Lord. Who do you need? Who do I need? Who does America need? Again, we need Jesus Christ. He satisfies. He satisfies on the earth. Psalms 107, verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Jesus is all that we need for our satisfaction. Remember the woman at the well? What did He say? Her deepest thirst, who could quench that? He could. Your deepest thirst, who can quench that? He can. America's thirst, who can quench that? He can. We've got to share Him. We've got to share Him with others. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a Christian who is one who is abiding in Christ ever feel like he lacked for anything good. There may be more things that we want. There may be more things that we may want to get. But what is a Christian? In whatever state that he's in, he's what? Content. Because who is with him? Jesus Christ. We talk about our satisfaction. He satisfies in eternity. When you leave this world, there's only two possibilities, and here they are. The possibility of hell or the possibility of heaven. That's the choice. I can tell you right now, there's no satisfying in hell. I can tell you right now, you will be very satisfied in heaven. So what is the choice? It's your choice. It's my choice on the life that we choose, on the life that others choose. If we're faithful to the very end, who do you need? We all need Jesus. A little bit more of Jesus in our life. Do you know Him? Is He in your life? Is He your life? This world will say you will need more of this, more of that, more health, more friends, more things. None of those are going to cure the sickness of this world. None of those are going to cure the sickness of you and I. None of that is going to cure the sickness of sinners, but Jesus is going to cure the sickness of sinners. All we need is Jesus Christ. Why not come to Him today? Why not come to Him in here in just a minute, confessing our faults if we have sin, putting off those old ways? Or if we're not a Christian, why not become a Christian? Become a child of His. Don't allow disappointments. Don't allow past mistakes. Don't allow the mistakes of others to keep you from doing what is right. What do we need? We need Jesus. He gives us that blessed assurance. Do you have it? If you don't, if we can help you and assist you in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing?